This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
See, we're at Imam Conference. We came to Amjad here to get, you know, some answers.
This is abhorrent. This is appalling.
And this bill was passed for five-year-olds.
It's some very scary stuff, Sheikh. The LGBTQ concepts, cross-dressing, anal and oral.
We've been feeling like no one's addressing this for the last 10 years, and they're not addressing it with confidence.
What's ironic is that the same people who are pushing for these things are also pushing for things to be organic and natural.
Wallahi, I am with the opinion of
100%.
I think this was pretty expected.
Absolutely. We need to be the ones that establish the foundation for our children.
I remember as a kid, we didn't even like think about something as Wi-Fi access.
The amount of pressure that's being put on the Muslim community and on the entire world is disgusting.
Do you feel like exercising our free speech, exercising our freedom of religion within the law of the land, that this is a great place for Christians and other God-conscious people to work together?
This is
Bismillah, alhamdulillah.
This is your brother, Hamza Andreas Dorzis, and I want every single one of you to support Eddie from The Deen Show financially and otherwise. But in what way? I want you to support his new project, The Deen Center. It's going to be a transformative experience, this center. Why? Because it's going to be a masjid, it's going to be a place of worship, it's also going to have fitness facilities, and it's also going to be a dawah center to call people back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims and non-Muslims. And we trust Eddie completely. I, for one, will take 1,000 bullets for Eddie. He has a vision. He has more than 15 years of experience in the dawah. He's had a huge success with The Deen Show. And he has the support of many du'at and preachers and scholars from all around the world. It's going to be an amazing project for everybody. Go to thedeencenter.org. Donate now.
So here's what I'm asking you. You have a hard time hearing this from me, but this is for 10 years old and up, and this bill was passed for five-year-olds.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We're here at the Amjad Convention. We're going to be talking to different imams to get their reaction to this latest news that just came out, where Chicago Public Schools will be teaching Governor Pritzker's new controversial sex education curriculum, which aims to provide more explicit instruction to Illinois' K-12 students on the LGBTQ concepts, cross-dressing, anal and oral sex, and abortion at early ages. I'm going to continue on because this is what they're going to be reading and then commenting on. The article continues and says sex education will begin at kindergarten. According to the new curriculum, with lessons on gender identity, third graders will learn about how they can take hormone blockers to change from boy to girl or vice versa. In sixth grade, students will be instructed on anal and oral sex, condom wearing, and pregnancy option of abortion. So this is what's going to be taught to children in the schools, and we want to get the Muslim imams' reaction to this. Let's go meet them and get their reaction. I want Sheikh, this is no stranger to the show, Sheikh Waleed Bassouni. How you doing, Sheikh?
Pretty good, alhamdulillah, thank you.
You look great, Eddie.
You too, alhamdulillah. So I want you to, this is a news article, this just came out. So this is what's going to be implemented in the Chicago schools. And we need to come to our scholars to learn how to address these things. Please read this question and we'll get an answer from you. So you read the news report, what do you have to say?
I just feel, bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulillah, that communities need to work harder, the masajid need to work harder, especially starting from the parents. We need to train the parents, tell them the reality of what is actually going on. It all starts from iman, it starts from taqwa, it starts from teaching your kids, your family, starting from yourself, that these are realities that we are facing. And the least that we can do is, you know, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and really start on ourselves and really be aware of the realities, like who knows what the next decade holds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, keep us safe. Ameen.
Unfortunately, the article about Pritzker's curriculum and the changes that they're talking about having at every level of the public educational system, sadly, is not surprising, but is no less shocking due to its inevitability. The teaching of these sorts of concepts of the gender choice and other sorts of things from ages as young as 5 years old. We're talking about a block of individuals that represent maybe 5% of the entire population of the United States, likely far less even than that. And for them to have that much sway and that much control over what is being taught, especially about something that is so life-altering as this sort of topic of gender identity, sexual behaviors, and even changing of sexual identities, sex change operations as options for choices as young as sixth grade. This is abhorrent. This is appalling. This is the state and vested interests taking control of children's lives. And actually, I heard a comment from somebody recently saying about a comedian commenting about how these are individuals that have chosen a lifestyle whereby they are not going to have children, and they have chosen to make themselves the arbiters of what parents who chose to have children get to do with their children, or in this case, actually can't do with their children as far as educating them according to their morals, their values, their beliefs, and their structures. They are overriding parents who had children by choice, even though they chose a lifestyle that prohibits and has a proclivity against having children. It's unimaginable.
Well, I first and foremost, I say alhamdulillah for Islamic schools, you know, especially the importance of giving our children the ability to go to an environment, inshallah, where they can be safe from this type of knowledge and this type of information and being exposed to all of these matters. Really, the communities need to take it very seriously to establish the Islamic schools, not only just to establish schools, but to focus on building good curriculum so that they're not worried and concerned about if not sending their kids to a public school system or private schools, that we have something great to offer for them instead, inshallah, because subhanAllah, these situations are only going to continue and get worse. So we need to be proactive to create that environment, inshallah, for our children at the masajid and the Islamic schools, inshallah.
It's some very scary stuff, Sheikh.
قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا ولو كمفحص قطات بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. تخيل أن تكون سبباً في إنشاء مركز إسلامي في قلب أمريكا بمساحة 35,000 قدم. تخيل أن تكون سبباً لأن يسجد الخلق بين يدي الخالق، وأن تكون بتوفيق الله سبباً في تعرف الآلاف على الإسلام ودخول الكثيرين في دين الله. ما أجمل أن تكون لك صدقة جارية يتعلم في ظلها المسلم الجديد مبادئ الدين، ويجد فيها الشباب المسلم بيئة آمنة جاذبة تعينه على الاستمساك بإسلامه. الداعية الأمريكي إيدي هو من يشرف بنفسه على هذا المشروع الدعوي الفريد بعد أن قدم مئات الحلقات وملايين المشاهدات عبر اليوتيوب. خذ من وقتك دقيقتين وساهم بما تستطيع في هذا المشروع العظيم.
You know, so how should parents now who are, you know, in this situation of potentially having to send their kids to public school, being affected by this, what's your reaction when you hear something?
You know, there is a rule in general, which is in PR, they say, identify yourself before somebody else identify you. And I'll say that concept, in Islam, it's so important to do an education and creating a Muslim who's resilient, creating a Muslim who understands their religion, occupy them, give them ilm, knowledge, things that make sense to them, and make sure that they understand that. So when they go, they are resilient. They have that defense mechanism. And I say, as much as we read today about these issues, it became more important to me to talk about the importance of talking to our children about these issues in earlier age than what we used to do before. That's number one. Number two, I think it's important for us to be involved and to make sure that we protect our rights as a citizen of this country from allowing some people to enforce their agenda on us. Public school is a public square. It should not be a square, a place where people with certain agenda to force us into their agenda. So that will happen, unfortunately, by, you know, being engaged, having that pushback, being involved. It's not going to happen by going away, putting yourself in a shell, you know. And that's a battle that we have to pick. And I think we can win it with common sense, with science, with faith communities coming together and holding your ground. Be very clear about these issues, no wish-washy about it. And that's, in my opinion, the way to go.
So the first step, I would say, started at home. There is a great responsibility upon the parents right now to take on that responsibility of teaching their kids what's right and what's wrong and implanting that in their hearts from an early age. So school is the first place where they learn. School is the first place that they practice. There was actually a study done in back in the 80s of people who are doing masturbation, okay, as being a problem in the community and so on and so forth. And they found that the kids between age 2 and 3 years old are exposed to some scene of sexual scene here and there, and this is where it builds up in their life. So imagine if they're being taught that in school, in public school, openly. Like religion is not allowed in schools and they don't do it in public school. Why are they trying to force the sex ed? Why are they not giving choice to people who wants to learn it to do it and people who don't want to learn it not to do it? Like, they, isn't that the freedom that they're calling to? So I think we should fight it back. We should, you know, with all the respect, to follow the law and follow the law of the land that we live in, but it doesn't mean we could just surrender to the harm that is coming to our children. They go to public school, they benefit from public school, and there is nothing that they could do. So I think the parents have a great responsibility to stand together, Muslims and non-Muslims. And you'll find people, even non-Muslims, who are against this in schools. So we should all stand together for this cause to minimize that harm and bring in benefit, inshallah.
Because you have, obviously, within the laws of the land, within the parameters, you have free speech, so you shouldn't fear. I mean, speaking, you know, on this freedom of religion.
Yeah, and that's something I should not be forced. You should not impose on my kids, on myself, or my family, whatever other people's belief is. This is, should be kept, you know, free public, free square for people to practice their religion freely.
I mean, you send your kids to learn math, science, right, and all the other sciences, but then, you know, you come to the school and they got, you know, they're teaching kids these, you saw in the article, you know, about, it's kind of, you feel embarrassed discussing it, you know, oral sex, you know, and hormone blockers, you know, you can take your time and, you know, until you identify yourself. Kids at such a young age, it's just, you know, it's mind-blowing.
It is, but again, like, unfortunately, we're living in a time where sexuality is kids exposed to sexuality in a very early age, way more than before. You know, I don't mind to talk to my kids about sexuality, but I talk to them in the frame that they can understand. You know, I don't want people to see themselves through this sexuality, identify themselves through sexuality. That's not how you identify. That's if you are empty. I identify myself as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I don't identify even as a male or a female, as a abdulillah and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And also using a common sense, you know. So that's what I would say. I think we need a lot of people, and I call upon every Muslim, every person of faith, every person of common sense and psychology and biology and sociology to speak up. Speak up the truth. Don't be looking for the funds. Don't be worried about your, you know, money or funded or job. Speak the truth, because we are at a curving point in our society today. And it is our obligation as Muslim to contribute to protect morality in United States of America.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. You know, we're at with the Emja, another imam, getting his reaction. You guys seen what we're talking about, the article there. You just read it. What do you have to say?
No, it's abhorring. And if you, as a Muslim, as a person of integrity, as a person with any moral...
Christian, Jew, exactly. God-conscious person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This isn't an issue of, like, liberal versus conservative. This is an issue of, you know, keeping things as, you know, natural. What's ironic is that the same people who are pushing for these things are also pushing for things to be organic and natural, yet you're going against the very thing that nature supposedly pushed and created, right? Obviously, we believe in a creator, but it's something that it should be terrifying, and it is meant to terrify, but we should be very wise in how we react, and this is why Muslim organizations are needed. We have to have a plan. We have to know how to actually... Part of us living in the West, living in the United States, is that we have to really fortify ourselves and our families and make sure that we're protecting them. And not only protecting them, but actually making sure that we are a force of good out there. It's not enough that we just put ourselves in a bubble or become insular, but that we actually go out there and be like, hey guys, there's an alternative to all of this, what you guys are doing. There's something better. Can I show it to you? It's Islam, right? And this is something that's very good, and it has a solution for a lot of the problems that you face, and it has answers for a lot of questions that you have, and it has, instead of you questioning your identity and questioning, you know what I mean, the body that God gave you, maybe question the ideas that you've been sold your whole life and see that there's something better out there, you know what I mean? Because if you know that it's in the mind, then inshallah ta'ala we can work on that. If you know that it's in the heart, if you know that it's in the spirit, we have answers for all of that. There's a better medication.
It's very interesting because we know that the only one who doesn't have a gender is the creator of the heavens and the earth. So it's a slippery slope if Muslims, you know, fall into it. I like what you said, you have to be firm on your identity, know who you are. You know, there's the male, there's the female. But now this whole gender fluidity where, you know, it's a very dangerous place for, can you even, you know, for someone to entertain this at all as a Muslim? You know, where can they end up? You know, because again, like I said, the only one who doesn't have a gender is the creator of the heavens and the earth.
So I think there's two arms the Muslim community have to use. One, from a religious perspective, for us as a Muslims, and not only all people of faith, this issue is something very grounded, very easy to be proven. The other arm of our community, it should be science. People who are in psychology, people who are in biology, this is science. You know what? You will die, and you will be in your grave, and 100 years later, we dig your grave, we'll know you are a female or male. You can't change this fact. You know, I think there is a lot of confusion caused by this kind of approach to our children. We need more studies, more numbers. We're willing to challenge this on a science base, the people who are pushing that agenda. You know what? We never felt in any time in our life that our religion contradicts science. So I'm 100% sure that what Islam teaches us will never contradict what science say. So, but what do I need? I need from our Muslim psychologists, people in these professions, people in biology, and other people of faith and common sense to come and to challenge these ideas and to push back. You know, I think if we study the impact, the negative impact of these areas in our children, we will find a lot of things that support what we saying and promoting as people of faith.
Do you feel like exercising our free speech, exercising our freedom of religion within the law of the land, that this is a great place for Christians and other God-conscious people to work together what we believe is right for our children? Is this something that we can work together on?
Absolutely. I've actually recently been getting involved with a movement we have here in Dallas, or not here in Dallas, but in Dallas, where evangelical Christian congregations are partnering with especially Muslims, to Muslim leaders, actually it was a meeting of Muslim imams, to start to form a bond and form a platform where they can work together, get to know one another, and stand side by side, because evangelicals are some of the most opposed to Muslims in general, but they're trying to break that cycle within their own communities. And they recognize that although we seem to be at odds, we share so many things in common, especially these sorts of conservative values, especially when it comes to family and society and things like that, etc. So we share a lot in common, and when we stand beside one another and speak out against these sorts of things, it's going to be much more effective, because they see there's not just an isolated few in a minority demographic or whatever. It'll show the greater and greater bonds of fraternity around these issues, and that this is not what the majority wants. This is not what the people of values and people of morality want, and that we need to turn society back from the precipice that it's racing towards.
Thank you so much. Would you advise parents to keep their children out of public schools at all costs?
100%. There are pros and cons to public school, private school, homeschooling, unschooling, whatever you want to call it. There are pros and cons, but there, you just look at the realities today of public schools and what they are pushing, the agenda. They're so open, they're so obvious about it. It's just a no-brainer for me personally. You could not pay me anything to put my kids in public school. May Allah protect our families, but I think it's a no-brainer. Every Muslim should, any decent, righteous, pious, upright person should really consider that if this is what is going on in the public schools, 100%, try your best. You gotta, you know, that money is not, at the end of the day, money and those A pluses and those report cards, that's not what we're here in this dunya for. It's about protecting yourself and your families from a fire.
Yeah, subhanAllah, you know, I remember in the 90s we had the challenges, you know, in the communities they were talking about building masajid in Islamic schools. And I remember as a kid we didn't even like think about something as Wi-Fi access. And then now with the internet we're exposed to, and our kids are exposed to everything. And as a father, my kid being in 6th grade, one of them in 7th grade, one of the things is, subhanAllah, that day will come, well, they'll be tested with this. So we want to be on the offensive and we want to be proactive of teaching our kids about everything about Islam, where Islam is not just a bunch of rituals or stories of the prophets or certain things we do on Eid or certain days, but rather it's a complete way of life, a system of life that addresses every aspect of life, and that we want to give them the confidence and empowerment to feel that Islam has answers to all that they go through in life. And especially this particular topic, whether it's relationships, guys and girls, the whole LGBT movement, where they're able to have wisdom and how to deal with it, but also understand what their identity is, what they stand for. It's like, it reminds me of the story of Rabi' ibn Amir when he went to the king of Rustam, and he had barely any clothes to remember him, cover himself. He could have said, Allah sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "In Allah ibta'athana, Allah sent us, right? لنخرج العباد من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة رب العباد." To take people from being slaves to others to being slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the first things is freeing ourselves and our kids feeling that they don't have to follow the standards of society. So even if they learn or are taught certain things in school, we'll give them the tools to be able to process and filter certain things out. Whether it's this, philosophy class, evolution, whatever it may be, we have to prepare them for that. So then they realize that Islam is a way of life that addresses every aspect of life. So then now they realize they're equipped, not because of fear, not because of culture, but rather they understand that actually, this is who I am as an individual. So no matter what they're thrown at them, they're able to go back to the source. And not, that doesn't mean perfection. What it means is that they realize Islam is the only thing that is perfect.
Would you say that this is the time, you know, many have maybe been a little bit reluctant to talk about this, scared that, you know, maybe they can have a backlash, but you encourage more imams to talk about this, you know, to talk about this important topic. Where would you say, you know, in this area, should people come out, you know, and start to address these things more? Because you can see laws are being passed, you know, this thing is spreading.
I just want to say, take your religion from the Quran and Sunnah. Take your religion from what Allah said and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have taught us. Take your religion from the trusted scholars and ulama. And I want to say, I personally don't like 99% of the ulama and the scholars and the imams, alhamdulillah, are very clear about this. I think where some people get confused when they see some political statements or positions. And I wanted you to understand that these political positions or statements, it could be calculated between advantage and disadvantage. It's not meant to teach you your religion or your moral stance, but it doesn't mean that it is 100% wrong or 100% right. But again, when I want my religion, I don't take it from a certain politician or a political statement that you make or a coalition that you make. That's not how. When I work, for example, with a Christian group or a Jewish group or a Buddhist group, doesn't mean I'm supporting these ideologies or this faith. I disagree with them, but for whatever political reason, I'm doing that position. But this has to be made clear by those people who are taking these positions and those people who are watching. Yeah. And we should not mix the two together.
Being so dangerous now to the young ones and trying to protect our children, do you think, we've heard some scholars even say that they should keep their children away totally from the public institutions, you know, what would you say to that?
Wallahi, I am with the opinion of keeping our children away from public school, or at least if they can't, after a certain age, like fifth grade, sixth grade should be over. Middle school, this year, I went to high school here. I came from Egypt to high school. I know how high school
is. It's dangerous, yeah.
Very dangerous. To survive, it is very hard. You are surrounded by people who are doing things that you want to do. You're surrounded by people who encourage you to do wrong. You're surrounded by a community, and it's open. I went to public school. To say it very clearly, surviving in public school is almost impossible except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps someone to do so. Parents, they throw their children to public school. They don't follow up with them. They don't know what they're learning. They don't know what they're being taught. And I want to tell you a story on that. I had a cousin, a six-year-old cousin. He came once from school, and this was a problem in Texas, and he said that the teacher did a trick for them today. She said, close your eyes, and when you open it up, Jesus will give you some candy. So he said, when we opened up our eyes, you know, we found the candy on the table, so we love Jesus since that. You see, this little thing, it is a problem with the aqidah. They're implanting something in their heart that grows with them. So imagine, they already know things. They're exposed to the internet. They're exposed to social media, and they have all these are opening to them. Now, they're going to teach to them specifically in schools in an open manner. Manners are lacking in schools. So I would say I am with the scholars who say at least withdraw them at an early age, like fifth, if they can be in public school. We have homeschooling, we have K-12, we have other alternative that we do the best to minimize. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, with his qadr and his knowledge and his wisdom decide that they'll be guided, they'll be guided. If Allah decide otherwise, yes, but we have to do our part. We have to take the means and rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it.
That's beautiful. Keep them out of the public schools.
I'll say two things. First, I lived in Chicago for 7 or 8 years, so I think this was pretty expected. This is not actually a surprise to me. Chicago is a big, big city. It's very liberal. There are lots and lots of work that has been going on for years and years. And the Muslim community, by the way, in the state of Illinois and Chicago is the biggest in the United States. We have 800,000 Muslims. I thought I used to think there are 300,000 or 400,000. 300,000 or 400,000 when I lived here, but I actually heard the mayor last Ramadan saying Muslims are 800,000. So if we are 800,000 in this city and we don't make the difference and we do not make an impact, I think we need to really think about it seriously. Now the problem is actually knocking on your door. There is no way out of it. You cannot say yes. Should we all homeschool our kids? Should we sponsor more Islamic schools? What is our impact in this? And again, should we just stand in the defensive position? We should just defend our morals? When are we going to take the initiative, make a step further and start addressing these issues? Yeah. I think this is a very alarming thing, and I honestly feel it's a big challenge and for families who have kids this age, and I honestly don't know how we're going to be dealing with that.
You feel that this is... this is an area that Jews and Christians and other God-conscious persons can work together in this area to try to educate people and try to protect our children from this?
Yes. Actually, every Thursday, I meet with a lot of pastors online. We first start meeting and mental health professionals. So the thing we used to talk about was the opioid crisis, and then mental health, and then suicide. And now also these are some of the things that people go through, porn addiction and so forth. So the Christians, they always talk about the 12-step process. And the first thing they always talk about is acknowledging and wanting to change. So I do think there is a lot we can learn actually from their experience, because they're more open and they don't have that stigma of perfection. Or like, you know, actually even their pastor would say, I experienced 1, 2, 3, and this is my way of recovery. So they actually give practical solutions. So I think we can learn, you know, sometimes we have to move that stigma of perfection, work together and realize that we have some common goals. We're very clear about our beliefs, but there's a lot more to work on, I think.
What's your advice until this gets figured out, hopefully for the better, God willing, should Muslim parents keep their kids at all costs out of public institutions, schools?
I don't think there's even really a question about it. If you have any concerns around these issues, and as Muslims, we should. It shouldn't be a question of whether or not we do, but if we're being honest about our community and the thoughts and the ideas that are spreading around our communities, we have to word it in that way. But if you have any concerns about these sorts of things being taught to your children from the ages of 5 and even younger, if you look at some of the books that are available for kids even younger than that, then absolutely you need to keep them out of any system, whether it's public or private, that is going to expose them to these sorts of things. Historically in the West, families and communities had control over the education of their kids. These were the small schoolhouses that many of my ancestors actually went through, where it was a community and they taught their values to their kids. They were in 100% control of the values, the religion, the etiquettes, the morals that they were teaching to their children. We've lost that when we abdicated that right to the state, and now the state is making decisions that very few of us would support. And so if you're concerned about that in any way, shape, or form, then you absolutely need to take back control of the education of your children. Last and leastly, not to diminish this in any way, it's your responsibility in front of a law to deal with these things. And if you don't, you will be answerable.
Subhanallah. The amount of pressure that's being put on the Muslim community and on the entire world is disgusting. So this is going to basically, this is trying to modify humanity. This is trying to change the way in which people have naturally been programmed to understand what relationships are. And they're not, it's not good enough that they're going to put pressure on adults. Now they're going to go after children. They're talking about kindergarten. In California, they're talking about transitional kindergarten. They make LGBT like clubs and groups and virtual meetups. This is a way that they're brainwashing children to basically indoctrinate them with an alien idea that's going to just destroy society. So subhanallah, you know, may Allah protect us. May Allah stop this, horrific propaganda that they're spreading. And I really think once we get to this level of extreme, Americans are going to start waking up and realizing, you know what, this is taking things too far. They're claiming to be the victim, but now they've become the oppressor. And I think Muslims need to wake up, and the general American public, they need to wake up and realize what's really going on with this sickness.
Absolutely. We need to be the ones that establish the foundation for our children, not the public school system. And there's definitely an agenda in many different states. We've read many numerous news reports about them trying to infiltrate the system and add, and even you'll find this in the books that our children are being given by the public school system as early as kindergarten, as early as first grade. And alhamdulillah that we have, for the communities that do have the opportunity to have the private schools and the Islamic schools. And if there isn't that opportunity, we really need to focus on ways to assist the families that may not have private schools or Islamic schools close by, so that we can train them and teach them, to give them homeschooling opportunities, to prevent these to being exposed to such terrible things, subhanAllah, from such a young age. And me personally, I have two daughters, alhamdulillah, right now, in Islamic school. And the Islamic school only goes up to eighth grade in the area that we're in. And I know for sure, I spoke to my wife, I said, if we can't, inshallah, expand our school to high school, I'm going to have to drive them to Chicago every morning, even if it takes an hour, hour and a half to get there and come back. There's no way I can put them in an environment that's like this, subhanAllah.
For you to say that you're not a male or female, because God Almighty is the only one who doesn't have a gender. He's not like anything that you can imagine. And now you're trying to make yourself into a God, aren't you? By saying I'm not a male or I'm not a female, you know, you're taking this approach. And if, as a Muslim, you know, if you're not well grounded in your deen, you can go down this slippery slope and fall into this.
Yeah, 100%. See, the issue is, if I follow whatever I feel like, that's not a solid ground to stand on, because your feelings change every day, and you can change, and literally there's people like that, of course, that we know. We have to ground ourselves in something much more stable. We have to ground ourselves in something way more solid, and obviously that's, you know, our faith in God, God Himself, because there's no firmer ground than belief in God, right? So if I'm just leaving it up to my whims and my desires, those could literally change. And a lot of times we think that it's actually coming from ourselves, but we're so influenced and indentured in the culture and the media and the things that we consume that we don't realize that they're influencing us on a daily basis. So you're getting influenced. And instead, what we're saying is, maybe you should be doing the influencing. Maybe there's a better influence, something pure, something pristine from God. So,
a couple more questions. Do you feel more imams now should take a more proactive approach to educate their communities and to talk more about this.
So, yes, imams definitely have to be proactive, and many of them are. Imams have a job, right, that we... things like this are going to keep on popping up. And today it's this, tomorrow it's going to be something else. Just like if you told me this would happen 5 years ago, I'd be like, that's nuts, that's crazy. And 5 years from now, may Allah protect us, it's going to be something even worse than this, right? So I think the jobs of the imams is to really think long term and to figure out how can we really educate our communities to weather these storms. So instead of dealing with one fish at a time, we're going to teach them how to fish, our community, really how to weather, like I said, these storms that are coming at us, instead of being like one storm at a time, but how do we protect ourselves? How do we have that solid basis, that solid foundation that our faith should give us, right? And that's, I think, the bigger goal of a lot of the imams, because otherwise you're playing whack-a-mole with a lot of these issues. It's just going to be one after another, and you're not going to know how to deal with it if you're just dealing with the surface issue. What's actually going on, right? There's something bigger going on. I'm not saying that there's a conspiracy or anything. I'm just saying this is the way that the dunya works. This is the way that this life works, and we have to, as Muslims, have that solid grounding, that foundation, our aqidah, our belief, our faith, and be able to do that, inshallah.
You're one of the few imams that are out there on the podium talking about this. Do you feel a lot of imams should come out of their shell and address this now? What are you seeing now? Is this the time? Because a lot hold back, maybe feeling like they're going to be canceled. They might suffer some legal repercussions. Within the law, within freedom of speech, what can imams now, we're at Imam Conference, we came to Amjah here to get, you know, some answers, talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely, imams need to come out of the shell. You know, some of them can speak more eloquently, they can speak with more wisdom. We need to speak with wisdom, but we need to speak with conviction, we need to speak with confidence. I just gave a khutbah on this topic yesterday at one of the Islamic Center of Wheaton, one of the large masjids here, and just a number of people that came up to me, both old and young, they said, like, we've been feeling like no one's addressing this for the last 10 years, and they're not addressing it with confidence. And what they really appreciate is that just we have to speak with confidence. And I think it's building a level of frustration, especially when it comes to Muslim children. Parents don't even know what to say, and if Muslim leaders are going to remain quiet and they're going to shy away from the issue, then who's going to guide them? Who's going to speak? So I think they're afraid to alienate people, but you know what? We have legal protections. It is a free country, and freedom goes both ways. Somebody wants to be free to practice whatever, immoral lifestyle that they want. That's fine. I should be free, and I am free to be able to express my opinions and my detest and my dislike and my views of, I think this is absolutely immoral behavior. There's nothing wrong with that, and we actually protected by the First Amendment, so we should not be scared. We should actually just speak up, speak the truth, speak it in a wise way, speak it in a respectable way, but in a way that's actually going to guide our community. So yeah, it is time for more people. I'm tired of being the only one who's really talking about this issue, and inshallah, I can help guide other people on how to convey that message. We got to do it, man.
Last question, should Muslim parents at all costs keep their kids out of public school?
So, I mean, some can do it, some can't do it. You know, the ones who can afford it and the ones who can do it, yes. I mean, homeschooling is an option in most states in this country. It's a fantastic option. Private schools are an option for people who can afford it. This is what Christians are doing. This is what Orthodox Jews are doing. This is what, so many other people who don't agree with this this sexual gender ideology that's being shoved down our throats are doing. So yeah, Muslims need to realize that if you protect yourself, it's not about living in a bubble. It's about protecting your children. You can educate them about what's going on in the world, but we should be the ones to teach them these things, and we should teach them at a time and at an age when it's appropriate for them to understand that.
Yeah, one last thing came to mind. Is this a good place where Christians, Jews, other communities can work together with Muslims on this matter?
And this is exactly the place where we can't agree on everything else. There's some issues we're going to not agree on politically, but this is the opportunity where Orthodox, conservative Christians, conservative Jews are kind of on the liberal side. They're coming out and they're approaching and they're like, hey, let's team up on this issue because this is a minority that acts like a majority, the LGBT lobby. We need to stand up together and face them together because it's in all of our best interests. So yes, we absolutely need to team up together, and I'm open to team up with anyone. Doesn't matter whether we agree on some other political issue or not. We need to work together on something that at least we agree, see eye to eye on it, and it's going to affect our society, it's going to affect our kids, it's going to affect the fabric of America.
Keep your kids out of public school.
I tell everybody I'm a teacher. So as an imam, we're already busy, but I make it a point to actually teach at our local Islamic school. So I'm an Islamic studies teacher as well for the high school students, and there's not a topic that's off the table. We put it all there. I don't believe in keeping the kids in a bubble or blind. My students know everything. It's not that they're, and it's not that we're exposing them too much, but we're trying to make it so that they are proactive. See, I'm teaching my students not defense. I'm teaching them offense. So we actually teach them how to give da'wah, how to actually do good in the world. Not just like, oh, I'm going to send my kid off to college and I'm going to put him, hopefully that bubble that I put him into when he was in Islamic school, he's going to stay in that bubble. No. I actually make sure that when they go out in the world, they're talking. So alhamdulillah, many of my own students who have graduated, I've been teaching for like 6-7 years now, many of them are presidents of MSAs or setting up da'wah tables or engaging, they're talking, they're doing a lot of things. I'm very proud of them. Some of them have actually established prison da'wah programs, my students. I'm like, wow, you guys are... But the point is, we need to put them on the offense, because the best defense is actually a good offense. And if we just say, no, I'll just teach you enough Qur'an so that you can be protected. The Qur'an is great, it'll protect you, yes. But the Qur'an was meant to be spread as a light to mankind. And if we just keep that light to ourselves, we're doing ourselves and the Qur'an a discredit.
Last question, Christians and Jews and Muslims, is this an area we can work together in?
Oh, 100%, and we should. And not only this, but we can actually help the Christians and the Jews, I think, even more, because Islam offers better answers. See, the reason why a lot of Christians and Jews might not be doing as well on this front, or they're trying to, and they don't have the tools. And I think Islam actually gives us so many better tools because it's on a more solid foundation. And this is why for Muslims, for the most part, alhamdulillah, haven't been susceptible to this, for the most part, because of that solid foundation that the Qur'an gives us. So yes, we can definitely have cooperation, we need to, but as Muslims, we have something very valuable and we need to stick to it and help spread that light in the world, inshallah.
Is this something that Jews and Christians and other God-conscious people who claim to be God-conscious, that they can go ahead and work together in this? Protecting the children?
I hope so, but let's be honest. You know, I think Muslims are the biggest faith group that is standing in front of these movements. Yes, you could find some Catholic churches somewhere, you could find some Jewish communities somewhere, you could find, but that actually is not the official, or let's say not the mainstream stance of these faith groups, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, you know, when you work with the faith leaders in a big city like Chicago, you could easily tell that everybody right now is moving too fast towards supporting all the causes that the community is supporting. Group leaders just don't want to be alienated, and unfortunately it seems that Muslims are going to go through this alone.
Thank you very much. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. You were talking about, you know, this, when these thoughts come to the human being, right, to the Muslim, it's not that they should be left to simmer and grow. It can end up being haram, where you need to get this out of your mind as quick as possible. You know, because people go off saying that you're not going to be accountable for your thoughts, and then you actually address this issue, that this is something that you don't... Can you elaborate? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I hear this statement, it's okay to have these desires as long as you don't act upon them.
Yes.
I think that actually opened the door to promote... to make people more closer to go into that direction. I think that statement is not good. It's not right. I think one of the things that Islam teach us is the importance of the action of the heart. Your heart is more the most important part of your body, and you have to keep it pure. For me to tell me, oh, it's okay to have these desires to poison my heart? No, it's not. If you have these desires, you should fight it. This is haram. A'udhu billah. Can you imagine somebody like have a desire to do something so evil and stuff? No, that's wrong. You should say, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. May Allah protect. And I start working on purifying my heart. That's more important than the action. You know, and the Nabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, heart is the king of the body. If you corrupt the king, the whole kingdom will be corrupted. Same thing. So what he said, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, was correct. And that's why I do believe that these shahwa, these desires, are forbidden desires. And you're not allowed to let it settle or sit or sink. You act or you don't act upon it. It's haram. And you have to say, you have to push on it. The scholars talk about thoughts. Just give an idea for a second in your heart. And the ulama said, "Man istahana bil khatarat qadatu ila al mulikat." Those who don't push back these thoughts, it will take them to their distractions. Even the thoughts. But Allah will not make you sinful by thought. But a desire? No, this is a desire. This means something. It's like, as we say, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a reward that you get. And na'udhu billah, the love for haram and the desiring of the haram is a sin, actually, in the heart.
Sheikh, thank you for spending some time with us and answering those questions.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
Do you know what Islam means?
Islam? No. We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all?
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything?
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. We have $500,000 left, and we need your help to finish. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.